Whatever, no bite-sized lessons from the lathe. Nonetheless, but not live in front of many students, as our students have gone to their respective homes, maybe temporary homes, and are not here in Eretz Yisrael. And then in the next week or so, I will be joining the Beis Medrash program in Camp Mesorah. So Eretz Hashem will be back to a regular schedule shortly. I wanted to bring an important message as we start focusing on the summer and our Talmidim have finished their Shana Aleph experience. I think an important idea about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, being careful how we speak about the Holy Land. I also wanted to dedicate the shir between the two yurtzeits of my grandmothers, Chana Livsha Bas Beryl Dov, who was a great influence in my life in Emunah, and was someone who was very, very close with. And Feger Bas Bas Kolomis Kalman, Tzipora, she was as well known as her Hebrew name, and my daughter's name for her, Florence Hartstein, my other grandmother, Anne Weinrib, both of whom, tremendous influence on my life. I also want to dedicate the shir L'Zecher Nishmas Jake Weinstein, Yaakov Ben Avram, who was a great influence to so many people in the world, here in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly in New York and Queens. Just a very, very happy person, always a positive demeanor, Mamish Samech Bechelko, really, really a great Musar Haskil, seeing someone who was just so happy with life and made others happy as well, always saw the positive side. The family should get chizuk from him being a Melech Yosher for all of Klal Yisrael. So, in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, we learn about the ill-fated mission of the spies. And on one hand, we might have a difficulty, which I think everyone should, in reading the story. We, of course, already experienced last week's tragedy, if you will, the Vayhi Ben Soa breaking up two episodes of Klal Yisrael, and certainly the second episode we understand better of Mitlonen there. They're complaining about the food. And Rashi picks up right away in asking Lama Nismecha Parshas Meraglim and Parshas Miriam. And Rashi's answer is seemingly obvious in that for us they should have understood what happened to Miriam, i.e. the Lashon Hara she told about her brother, that, if you will, a Kal V'chomer, well, Rashi doesn't say Kal V'chomer, about the land of Israel. Shechichosa al iske devar shedivara, and they didn't get the Musar from that. So one obvious question is, what Musar? The obvious question here has to be asked in that there's obviously a big difference between the Lashon Hara, if you will, that Miriam spoke about a human being, and certainly albeit not just a human being, but Moshe Rabbeinu, and an inanimate object that we call Eretz Yisrael. So that's the question that I wanted to pose. One answer that's given is that of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his Sichos, asks this exact question, in Lakutei Sichos in volume 18. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says the following thing. He asked, what exactly would be the understanding here? What sin did really the spies commit? Obviously, a question that we might not have thought of. They told Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, but they told the MS. They reported back what they saw. They were commissioned, to go to Eretz Yisrael. These were the leaders of the nation of Israel, and they were report what they saw. They did that. They precisely told what they saw. They spoke about the inhabitants of the land of Israel, that they were powerful, and they couldn't imagine how they would be able to be successful against them. They were telling the truth. So, what do we answer here? And the raya that the Rebbe brings, he says, Kalev was accused, the fact that they were not accused by Kalev of lying, but in the way they said it. So how can this be? What is the Lashon Hara over here? What is the smichas of the parashios here? So Rashi's answer needs to be clarified. Why do we have a connection between Miriam, the incident of Miriam, and the Chet HaMeraglim? So the answer that the Rebbe gives, the Lubavitcher Rebbe gives, is the following. Rashi's Lashon, if you look at it, is that they're being punished because they were preoccupied with speech. When it came to Miriam, she was preoccupied with speaking about her brother. And with this preoccupation, the lesson was not learned by the Meraglim. As the Rebbe says it, while it is true that Lashon Rashi, these wicked people, committed the sin, the Torah records both of these incidents together to explain why indeed the Chet HaMeraglim was so severe. Because they didn't learn from the lesson of Miriam. Clearly these two sins are greatly different, and certainly the gravity of the sins are different, the punishment is certainly different, but they represent a similar mistake in judgment. And that was what Rashi's bringing out of here. They didn't get it. Rashi explains, actually, that in last week's parasha, that Miriam's sin, says Rashi, she actually was not intending to speak negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look at the Rashi in Perek Yud Beis, so Rashi clearly says over here that Ein diber b'chol makom elo lashon kasha v'chein hu omer davar ha'ish adoni ha'aretz ata kashos v'ein amir b'chol makom elo lashon. It says that Miriam, the lashon that says v'titaber Miriam he pascha b'diber techila. Obviously, it says that she did it first. But, says Rashi, she didn't want to speak negatively against her brother. The mistake, Rice, is that she's punished for being preoccupied with speech. She couldn't fathom, she couldn't understand, if you will, she didn't have the emunah to understand why Moshe had to separate from his wife. What could she have done? This is the sister. Asked her brother, what's going on over here? I don't understand. Thus, the chait of Miriam was not an intentional Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu. It was much more subtle. To speak openly about such a sensitive issue, this sensitive issue here, which of course could be prone to misunderstanding, without speaking to our brother about it. So now we understand the connection over here with the spies. We can understand that, yeah, maybe the spies did not speak disparagingly against Eretz Yisrael on purpose. They had valid concerns. Their mistake again was not going to Moshe Rabbeinu privately. They aired it in public. And of course fueled a major rebellion. And it's even worse because they didn't learn from what happened in an incident right before this. And now we can understand a few questions that have, of course, always come up in Parsha Shlach. Everybody quotes the Mishnah, Tanis, which talks about the tragic events of Tisha B'Av, course, the destruction of the two Beis HaMikdashos. But Tisha B'Av was the night when the ill-fated mission of the spies happened. The Chiyah B'Doros, we know the famous concept, Gemara and Tanis, speaks about after the Mishnah. And therefore, what the spies missed is not understanding the greatness of what they had. And that is, I think, the yesod of the error over here. The Rav of Soloveitchik, in a Dvar Torah Reflections from the, of the Rav, writes, what was the essence of Miriam's mistake? She failed to recognize, says the Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu's skula quality as a Navi. She knew that he was greater than other prophets, but she failed to comprehend that he was on a different plane, on a different category, all his own. He was the only Navi to be able to reach a level of closeness to Hashem, peh peh, as the Pasuk tells us. Lochein abdi Moshe b'chol beis hinemanu, peh peh daber bo. That was a big difference. So too, when it comes to the Chet HaMeraglim, they failed to recognize there was a reason the Ribbono Shel Olam picked Eretz Yisrael amongst all other lands, because it is the Eretz of Skula. We are an Am Segula going to the land of Skula. Eretz, as the Pasuk tells us, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dorish Adcha Tamid Enei Hashem Elokecha B'mireishis Hashana Ad Achmes Hashana. It is a land that Hashem, our God, seeks out. The eyes of Hashem, of our guard, are always upon it. Mireishis Hashana, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. This is this ultimate bracha that we see. And that's a big yesod. That the Ribbono Shel Olam's eyes are always on the land of Israel. This pasuk from Parshas Ekev teaches us that when Moshe Rabbeinu told these leaders to scout out the land, he was telling them to find the segula properties of this land. The segula prophet led the segula people to the segula land. And understood to see past giants, funeral processions, unusual fruit. That's why they failed. Eretz Yisrael nikne b'isurim gemarim brachas dav dalet. There's no question about it. But we have to understand that we're talking about the Eretz Skula, the Am Skula. And we have to be very careful what we say about Eretz Yisrael. The experience of a year in Israel, of 2 years in Israel, bring back to your families many, many stories, and visits to Eretz Yisrael bring back many, many stories. And those who have the schus of living here and maybe are going to visit their family bring back many stories. But nothing has changed from Parsha Shlach till today, the land of school and the way that we have to talk about it. And that is a very important focus that we should have. We have many weeks away till we commemorate the calamities of the 3 weeks. But let us start now in being so careful with how we describe the land of Israel, how we describe our experiences. And we certainly all falter in this, and I certainly need help in this area, in trying always my best to speak about the positive side. When one of the Talmidim at the banquet, the Siyum, we like to call it, at a Siyum, so it's a Siyum, described one of our great Rabbeim, Rav Machlis. So he said one day it was one of those rainy days in Eretz Yisrael, cold, rainy. And in the only way that Rav Machlis can say, he asked one of the Talmidim, "Nu, how are you doing?" He said, "It's hard to be happy on such a day. Look at it outside." And Rav Machlis looked at him like there was something askew and said, "What do you mean? It's raining in Eretz Yisrael. It's amazing." When the land of Israel could imbue Kedusha on its fruits and vegetables, the story told, whether it's true, I'm not sure or not, in the Shemitah year, I believe it was the Chazon Ish would go up to the tree and hug it and say good Shabbos to it right before Rosh Hashanah. But is it an Am Segula, an Eretz Segula? It is the place that we belong. This is not an Aliyah speech, but it is a speech of understanding the uniqueness, the beauty of the land, and a lesson for us to be able to do that. And I'm not just talking about Yerushalayim, I'm not just talking about the Kotel, I'm not just talking about the Makomos HaKadoshim, Baruch Hashem. We have so fortunate to have access to. But I'm talking more about what was the mundane that the spies saw, and seeing the beauty even in that, seeing the fact that in Eretz Yisrael many people, the overwhelming majority, if you will, are forced to eat kosher because it's everything's all kosher around. Forget about the kashrus level of that. But people are sitting in cafes and restaurants eating kosher, and the wedding that they had was done kedasvik adin. And there still is a Kedusha Shabbos. It's just a different place. And we have to recognize that. How fortunate are we to be able to live in a generation where we could see the Nisim v'Naflos in front of our eyes. But we must be careful not to be guilty of the Chet HaMeraglim. We could ask. That's what the Meraglim should have done. That's what Miriam should have done. But we have to be very careful to understand the different plane that this land is on. The issue that we should be focused on in summer months is Eretz Yisrael. When's my next trip? When's the next time I can make it there? When is it possible? When is it possible for me to be able to settle there? And when I'm here, I will tell all the great stories of the land. We often can make jokes and say, "Oh, the cab," and okay. And it's hard sometimes. Trust me, I know it's hard. As we said, Eretz Yisrael Niknes Beisurim, and we all have our stories, our Aliyah stories, and students who come for the year, their stories. Yes, it is a different land, but that is because of the skula nature of it. We should be zoche to keep Eretz Yisrael in our minds, always. And keep thanking Hashem for the great glory of letting us enter the land thousands of years after we seemingly to others lost it, be able to come back to the place of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of the Eretz Skula, of the Am Skula, and the Ish Skula, Moshe Rabbeinu, who wanted so badly to enter the land. We are fulfilling his dream. Let us not forsake it, and let us be very careful how we speak about it.